Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
If a tree illegally falls in a coastal forest in the dead of night and is hauled away, chopped up, and sold on the black market, but the culprit did it out of desperation, is it still a crime? Vancouver Island is seeing a massive jump in timber poaching, so much so that one man who watches part of its forest says he simply cannot keep up. Why is a crime that seems logistically difficult, to say the least, on the rise? What is driving the desperation that makes stealing trees seem like the logical option? Should governments be devoting more resources to protecting these resources? And even if they did, how do you police a gigantic forest when the level of theft is a single tree at a time? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Lindsay Borgen dug into this little-known but fascinating issue in The Atlantic. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
Can you start? Because this story contains all sorts of things that I didn't know were happening. But can you start by explaining to me what a natural resource officer does on Vancouver Island?
Sure. So a natural resource officer is different than what they might call a conservation officer, which is what we might think of as a park warden. But a natural resource officer is essentially the law enforcement in the woods. So they are in charge of investigating poaching cases of all different kinds, whether that's deer poaching or illegal fishing, or in this case, timber poaching. And they also kind of approach people that are using our natural resources against the law.
You kind of told your story through the eyes of one of them. So why don't you tell me about him and what he's seeing these days?
Sure. So Luke Clark, he's a natural resource officer in Nanaimo, BC, and he is kind of quite vocal these days about the amount of timber poaching that's happening on the land surrounding Nanaimo and then in towards some of the lakes in the middle of the island there. And he has basically been talking about how there's been a massive increase in the number of trees that are being illegally taken, essentially one at a time, from some of this land that is either preserved parkland or kind of managed by the provincial government in a sustainable way.
So tell me about these trees and how someone would actually go about poaching a tree. Because I imagine we're talking about BC, that these trees are not small.
They're not. They're not what you might think of in terms of the kind of massive cedar trees, you know, those iconic cedars that some of the parks have. Those actually are poached every once in a while, but the majority of the poaching that happens on the island is Douglas fir or maple. And those trees are definitely still old growth. They're very old and very tall, but they're not as wide around and kind of the iconic species that we kind of identify with old growth on the coast. These are protected trees on land, kind of around cities, along waterways, and they are, you asked me how they get stolen?
What are the logistics of that? It seems difficult.
I mean, it happens mostly at night. You know, you've got someone that has access to a chainsaw and, you know, maybe a truck, although sometimes even a car, with an empty bed or an empty trunk, and they're going to fell trees that are pretty close to the road. And towards the road so that the tree falls near to their vehicle, which makes it easier to what they call buck it up. So slice it up into smaller rounds that are easy to transport. So it's really in the dead of night with a chainsaw and, you know, some sort of vehicle. And it's not as complicated as you might think it would be.
It does seem, though, if we're talking about chainsaws and cars or maybe trucks near roads, that it would be a difficult crime to get away with. How often are these people caught? What kind of enforcement goes on?
So it's actually pretty easy to get away with in the sense of that there are not a ton of natural resource officers or conservation officers patrolling consistently in these areas. So if you're doing it at night and you manage to remove, you know, the majority of the tree in your truck and drive away, and you can offload that wood relatively quickly, the chances of them catching you, you know, essentially with the product that you've stolen and being able to match it to the stump of the tree that it came from is very low.
Do they have to do that to convict someone?
Yes, you have to prove that the wood came that was actually illegal, right? As opposed to a tree that you know, maybe you've taken legally by a firewood permit or something like that. So it really does come down to having to prove that the wood is the same wood that came from the tree of the stump that the natural resource officer found. So in some cases, you know, Luke, I mentioned in that story, he's seen people driving down these roads very quickly with wood in the back that he suspects is stolen. But even if he pulled them over and looked at the wood and found that, you know, maybe they didn't have the correct permit to show that it was harvested correctly, he would still, in order to take it to court, he would still have to find the stump that that wood came from.
What are these trees worth, and how do you offload them? Who do you sell them to? What are they used for?
So, you know, what I thought was interesting and what I didn't really expect was that Luke was telling me about how the majority of this wood is sold for firewood, especially at the time of year that I went. So it was end of February, beginning of March. And the way that he described it to me is, you know, if we've had a particularly cold winter, lots of people that live on the island, they heat their homes using firewood still. They have wood stoves. And if you've underestimated the amount of wood that you need in the beginning of the winter when you order it, you're going to need more. So at that time of year, there's a good market for people to put a call out on Craigslist or Kijiji or Facebook and say, you know, can anyone bring me half a cord of wood? And someone can respond and say, sure, $300, I'll bring it tomorrow. And there's no incentive really for that person buying to ask where it's coming from. There are also other cases where the wood is being taken to mills or makeshift mills and being processed into things that might be sold for tables, for instance. But that is actually not as common as just really quick sales for firewood.
I guess the million-dollar question is, why have we seen this practice spike? Do we have any idea what's driving it?
So I think that, you know, Luke, or what I've been told by not only by Luke Clark, but by other people in the logging industry, is that it's kind of this perfect storm of last year in particular, the wood was going for a really high price. Unfortunately, I don't have that number right in front of me, but I'll get it. You know, so the market was quite good at that point. And we're also dealing with a lot of socioeconomic challenges on the, you know, I think in the West Coast in general and across the country in general. And this is kind of rearing its head in terms of the logging industry. So as Nanaimo, for instance, as its economy changes away from sawmills and lumber processing into the kind of knowledge economy that we hear about all the time, it has left a large number of unemployed, struggling people on the island. And, you know, many of those people are comfortable using a chainsaw and they know where to take wood and they know, you know, generally how much they might get for it. And you have a need for fast money. That's kind of what has been leading to this increase in stolen timber.
Did you go out and see some of the places where these trees are taken?
Yep. Yeah, I spent the day in Nanaimo kind of driving alongside Luke in his work truck. And, you know, the minute we kind of turned into some of these protected areas, we started seeing, I think we saw three sites overall, and two of those were new that had yet to be input into the database there. We only got turned away essentially because it had snowed quite a bit. But we could have gone, you know, much longer inland and seen many more cases for sure.
How much of a problem is this environmentally? You know, on the one hand, obviously, these are really old trees. On the other hand, mm-hmm. they are just, you're telling me they're taking them one or two at a time, right? And it's a couple mm-hmm. of trees in a forest.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, that's the argument, is that if someone really needs one tree at a time, are we really, you know, should we funnel our concern more towards kind of broad scale illegal logging by corporations? But environmentally, it is an issue because we don't have a ton of old growth left. And what we do have left is protected for a reason. And the reason is, you know, that even if it's, for instance, dead standing, which means that the tree isn't alive anymore, but it is, you know, still standing, it provides habitat for endangered species. It provides habitat also for plant life, like mosses and insects that use it. And it also eventually will fall down of its own accord and recycle back into the earth. So it's still very connected to the ecosystem and provides the space for more old growth to grow from it. And so because we have so little of that left, it does matter that over the course of a year, more of these trees are being taken one at a time.